Fandom. With your host, Jesse Lawson. And welcome back, wrestling fandom fans. I know it's been almost a year since the last episode. I apologize. I've been working on a few different things. I'll get into that later on. Today's episode is with Jamie Huddle. Gregory Huddle, episode 2's guest, is older brother. Sat down with him for about an hour. Unfortunately, the last couple of minutes got cut off of the recording. Hope you guys enjoy this episode. Make sure to like and subscribe to the podcast. Don't forget to write a review. I honestly don't care what you got to say. It just helps me get up the charts. And lets people know I'm out here. Also, if you'd like to get a hold of us or be a guest on Wrestling Fandom Podcast and share your wrestling fandom stories, get a hold of us at wrestlingfandompod@gmail.com. That's all I gotta say right now. I hope you guys enjoy this episode with Jamie Huddle. Once again, I apologize it gets cut off before we're finished. It was a good interview. I'm sure Jamie will be back for a second part so we can finish off where we started. And hope you guys are having good feelings. Your family's, you know, safe and happy and in this trying time that we're in. You know, gotta think positively, and pro wrestling has always been a positive thing in my life. Whether it's feeling down on real life situations, you know, pop on a match that you always look forward to watching. Mine's always Bret Hart, Owen Hart, WrestleMania 10, or SummerSlam 94. But yeah, sit back and enjoy this episode of Wrestling Fandom Podcast. Welcome back, Wrestling Fandom Podcast listeners. I'm here today with Jamie Huddle, Gregory Huddle's older or younger brother?
Older, better looking, smarter. I mean, we can go on and on, you know. Just overall better older brother.
I like
that. Every younger brother has to find their style from the older brother anyway, so.
Exactly. All right, well, you listeners know his younger baby ugly brother.
Little but bigger brother. I will say that he is bigger than me. He's always been bigger than me, so he's always been the one to pick on me when it comes to beating up and picking up and sitting on somebody. So, but it was all, you know, I love the guy to death. It's always been me and him versus the world, it seems. So he's always been my tag team partner for life.
Well, of course, that's brotherly love right there.
Nothing like it.
Well, I'd like to welcome you to this podcast. If you've never...
I've been really looking forward to testing about it a couple days ago. Thinking, sitting about things I want to say or what I might be asked. I've been pumped.
Heck yeah. I'm glad. So, how I like to start out my podcasts is by asking you, what's your earliest memory of professional wrestling?
My entire life. I mean, I've got pictures of me and the whole... I had a Sting headband, Sting t-shirt, and I was at an event, Roanoke Civic Center. I might have been four, three, maybe five. So, you know, I've been going to events as far as I can remember, more than I can probably even remember ever. I used to have wrestling matches in my grandparents' bedroom. My grandfather used to be my ring announcer, my referee. He would hold my wrestlers so I could do all the moves to them. So my whole life for 30 years.
Hell yeah. I like to hear that. You know,
and people can say what they want. Yes, I'm a grown ass man. And yes, I watch professional wrestling.
Damn wrestling Skippy. No
wrestling is like chicken nuggets. There's no age gap, okay?
No, there isn't. So your brother, I went back and listened to his episode, and he kept talking about mom watching a Razor Ramon Coliseum home video. Now, did he over-exaggerate that your guys' mom just looped that video, or was that the way it was?
I don't really recall a Razor Ramon video. I do recall my mom having a huge-ass crush on Arn Anderson for some reason. I don't know what it was. Never figured it out. I do know she had a thing for Scott for the longest time, I guess because of the machismo thing. You know, he had the hair flowing down and all the chest hair. And so I do recall her having a fondness for Razor a little bit, but most of my life I remember her having a thing for Arn Anderson for some odd reason. Shout out to Double A. If Double A ever listens to this podcast, we met you in Vegas last year, me and my dad and my homeboy Brandon, and we appreciate the four horseman picture that you gave us in the casino. Appreciate that, sir.
Heck yeah. See, that experience right there is what I love hearing from fellow wrestling fans. This sport, or whatever you want to call it, has touched so many lives in so many different ways. I just want to hear everybody's stories. So, to start it off,
I got plenty. How much time we got?
Let's see. At my time zone, I got plenty of time, brother.
I got plenty of time too, sir, and I'm always down to talk wrestling. It's hard to, especially in this area, man. It's just so hard to find like real wrestling fans that watch everything and that know, you know, the ins and outs, different companies more than just the main two.
Yeah. You know,
so it's really hard to find somebody around here. I try to talk to my girl about it, but she's kind of like, eh, you know.
Yeah.
So, well, you know, the group chat and me and you and our buddies are in, like, that's, I love participating in that group and all the bigger groups that we're in, and just, I can talk wrestling all day.
Well, for those that haven't went back and listened to your brother's episode, how about you let the listeners know where you're from, because it has been a good market area for the business, but let's not say very good in what, 18 years life. Since a little WCW closed?
We had a couple of WWF shows here and there. We had a few TNA shows that came through. Never really got to go to any of those, which is kind of a shame because they always had a meet and greet before the shows, which is pretty cool. I never got to go to any of those. I really wish I could have, because that's when Sting and Kurt and all those guys were in TNA. So that would have been really cool to be able to, especially Sting. God, my goat. Oh. But yeah, man, growing up in the 90s here in Southwest Virginia, for those of y'all that don't know, I live in, excuse my French, bumfuck Egypt, Whitfield, Virginia right now. I've been here for about a year and a half. But before that, I lived in Pulaski, Virginia for about 28, 29 years, minus 3 to 4 years here and there, where I lived in Seattle for a few years.
Nice.
But
nice.
Growing up in the glory days, man, in the 90s, mid 2000s, early 2000s, WCW ran through here. WWF came through a couple times, not too much. They more or less went to like Charlottesville and Richmond, more or less. WCW ran through here, Charlotte, Roanoke, Charleston, Bristol. They were all up and through the 81, 77, 64 corridor back in the days. It was so great.
Heck yeah. See, I love hearing that stuff. Tell me about your first event that you can actually remember. I know you were saying about one when you were like 3 or 4, but what about the first event you actually remember?
The first event I actually remember being at was 92, I believe, was Fall Brawl, was in Roanoke. And I remember I can see myself seeing that double cage in the main event, what I believe was the Nasty Boys, Bunkhouse Buck, and Colonel Rob Harker versus Dusty or D Dustin Rhodes. And oh God, who else was in that match? Oh, I forgot. Dusty maybe might have been in it.
Yeah,
I can't
it
remember who the other two
was
were, but man, I remember seeing myself seeing that double cage, and just ever since then, that's always just been my favorite gimmick match ever.
heck yeah. Well, the event you're talking about for our listeners is WCW's Fall Brawl 1994.
94, that's what it was. I was about 6 years old. Yeah, I was born in 88, so I was about six. That's right.
Yeah, 92, the Nasty Boys were in the WWF, so
You're right,
it'd
you're right. Yeah,
have to
94.
be
So I was about six. So
94.
yeah, that makes about sense. So I was about six. That's the first match, the first event that I really recall being at in person,
Heck yeah.
and just
The
seeing that double cage.
War Games cage would be so awesome to see live. Well, the original
The original with the
WCW.
roof, and the original where they had the hole in the middle of the ring. Oh. In between the
Exactly.
rings, where they didn't have that little metal or metal quote unquote ramp in the middle now.
Yeah. I remember being a kid watching Arn Anderson getting pogo-sticked between the two rings.
Right.
Your brother was talking about you guys were major figure collectors. Your grandmother would get you guys as many of the different series, the different promotions, and what's some of your memories about you and Greg fighting over grandma's presents?
Well, with Greg was more or less a toy guy when it came to wrestling, toys and stuff like that. Me, when it came to wrestling memorabilia, I was more into t-shirts and music, so I had all the CDs and video games. I played every single wrestling video game that ever came out, I feel like, up until like the last few years. Greg was more or less a toy guy. I like the championship belts that came out when I was a kid, because I thought it was cool to walk around with a belt, or have a match with a belt and hit Greg in the head with it or whatever. But I had some wrestling toys. I actually had a couple of them that I have since like 98 that I just recently opened, so just added to my collection.
Heck yeah.
So I had a couple, not as many as Greg had it. Oh my God. Greg would go to Walmart and just go ballistic in the wrestling section.
So Gregor's was the action figure, you were the other merchandise.
I wanted the magazine, I wanted the CDs. Because my thing was, I wanted something I was going to get my money's worth out of. I feel like if I bought a toy, I might play with it for about 10 minutes, and then I might not play with it again for forever. I was always told, think logically, even as a kid, I was taught to think as an adult. So you buy something that you're going to get more use out of. So my video games, music, CDs, and t-shirts.
I totally understand that, especially when you're the older brother of, we know that one.
I mean, let's face it, Greg, he's almost 30 years old, and he's obviously still a kid at heart. He's still a big kid. Love him to death, though. Like I said,
Oh
good guy.
yeah,
Love him
I
to death.
love
Still
the
a good kid,
guy.
though.
Oh yeah, I love that guy. He's helped me a lot, so I could
And you
never
guys have
say.
helped him a lot. He's been gone here from Virginia for 8 years going on, give or take. And I mean, he speaks highly of all the SAW, SAPW, Inland Pro, Northwest Pro, all you guys. You guys have been a big help to him and to me as well, because, you know, having your baby brother move 2,800 miles away with nobody, no family around is kind of scary. So, you know, it's, his wrestling family has been a big help to him. I appreciate you guys a lot for everything you guys have done for him.
Oh, yeah, of course. You know, I met your brother at one of our shows, and he just kind of, like the old Triple H first day, walks up to Shawn Michaels and the Click and goes, "I'm riding with you guys." So, yeah.
That's the way you got to do it sometimes. If you want to get into the business, that's a great time. If you want to get into the business, then you just got to link to the right people. So.
Exactly. You know, people who've gotten into the business from just ticket taking to photo taking at ringside, like Corny and so many other, Heyman, John Arezzi. You know, so many others have come from that line that sometimes it's just better to be like, "I'm going with you guys."
Stick to me and ride the coattails, kid.
Pretty much.
We'll get somewhere.
Yeah. So, continuing with the action figures, I'm sorry. You know, Jamie, I love my action figures. And recently, it seems like the action figure bug has bitten you. Now,
man, let me tell you, I went absolutely crazy in about the last, I don't know what, month, maybe?
Yeah.
It all started with the Pro Wrestling Creek. I ordered Pro Wrestling Crate off of the Pro Wrestling Tees website, and just getting that first box where you don't know what's in it, and just opening it, and it's just all wrestling stuff, and it's just like, oh, it's like Christmas, you know?
Yeah.
You didn't know what you were going to get, so it's like Christmas, you know, like a kid. And once I got that first crate, I think I ordered a mystery box off of one of these groups that I'm in, and I got all these figures and toys and stuff, and it's like, oh, this is so cool. And it was a wrap from there. Now I've been spending money left and right, and I spent all my time on eBay and bigger groups, and it's like, all right, what can I get next?
See, now Greg doesn't buy the, well, I mean, he buys a bunch of figures, but your brother's more into reselling them now, and it
sounds...
He's got a
hustle and he's got a grind. I respect the man. He knows what he's doing.
Straight up, especially them AEW figures, man.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they're the hottest ticket in town right now as far as these figure collectors go. I mean, I've been trying to find them since they came out, what, a month and a half ago, and I've been to see the first one in the store around me.
Really? The first one?
The only thing I found is the belt in the ring, and I got it the first day that they came out, which was that first Thursday. I think it was like August, or like July something, August something.
Yeah.
And that was the first and last time I seen him until I went back to Walmart, I think last week, and I go to Walmart 2-3 times a week to see what they got.
Dang. Yeah, the Walmart... the Walmart in our town, well, there's like 5 of them. The one I go to, they don't even have the big display that you keep seeing.
Right.
We're just belt, like, I think we had 2 belts on the shelf and 1 ring last time I went. Plenty of WWE.
I think we had like 3 and 4, maybe. And as far as the display goes, all we have are 3 pegs on the shelf, right beside the WWE figures. We don't even have the big cardboard display with the UFC and the AEW figures. We just have 3 pegs, and that's it.
Oh, dang. Yeah, that sounds like this Walmart I go to. It doesn't ever have anything, so... But,
is there anybody that's listening that lives in this area of Southwest Virginia, if you guys listen to this, if you guys go to Walmart, check your toy section for me and go see if there. See if you find that AEW figure in the store, hit me up, please. I can find these things and buy them, and so I can sleep at night.
So I can sleep at night. Well,
I just want the Young Bucks. That's the only two I'm really worried about. I really don't care about the rest of the line. I just want the Bucks.
Well, I'm sure a listener will probably be persuaded to help
you out. I'll pay you for your time. Just help me out, please.
Oh, well, you've seen the prices of those secondary market. You're definitely going to be paying for your time.
I helped a guy out last week. I went to Walmart, and there was a Rick Rude figure that he needed to complete his collection. And, the figure was $16. And I told the guy, I put it out there, and he hit me up. And I said, look, send me $25. I'll mail it to you. No big deal. So the figure was like $15.99 plus tax, so it came with like 16.50 sales tax, like 11%. And then to mail it was like $8. So I literally might have came out a quarter ahead, and then you got people out here charging $35, $40, $45, $50 for an unopened box for a figure that might have cost you $20, $25 at most. Like, I get you're trying to make your money off of it and your time spent with it, but at the same time, come on, man, help people out. I feel like these figure groups are made to help us, complete our collections, get the figures we want, instead of having to hunt these collection stores that charge you $80, $90, $100 for a figure.
Yeah, it's getting ridiculous, the secondary market with some of these. Now, I get people are very excited, but I see.
I'm not that excited.
Jamie, really? Come
not
on.
Not to spend 200%.
Oh, no. No. Definitely not. I'm right there with you. I'm like,
you got the whole sets going on eBay for what, 150, 160, 170, 180, there's five figures. You're charging $30, $40 a figure. I mean, come on. Then another $20, $30 for shipping.
Yeah. Just, if you're going to, maybe
$100 max.
Yeah, if you're going to do that, just go to Ringside and get the whole set. Including Brandy. Well, the chase is good luck.
Right. They'll be in the Wrestling Superstore eventually, or the Ring Class store eventually.
Oh, yeah.
Once they get a little bit more out there.
Definitely. But
the rare Jericho, probably not, but the Cody chase will be out there, I'm sure.
Oh, I guarantee it. It's, just, you gotta hunt for it. The thrill of the hunt.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's like I said, now I'm going to stores every day and I'm like, what's up? What you got?
Oh, yeah. A couple of years ago, I was doing that with the retros, hitting up every Marshalls, TJ Maxx, anywhere I seen people on social media say they'd found some. So I feel ya.
Right. And like me, I'm not as much into the retros. There's a couple of retros I like, just to have like some stables and some tag teams of my favorite wrestlers from back in the day. But for me now, I just like, there's certain figures that I like that are really cool. And I'm getting most of them that come with belts or pretty deep or pretty cool accessories or outfits. Like, I got my Sting figure, like I said, Sting's my goat. So I got my first figure that I found on eBay was a Great American Bash, the Defining Moments 1990 Sting with the red, white, and blue. So I had to grab that one first. That was one of my first pickups that I got.
Heck yeah.
And then I'm wearing an Elite Sting in a drawing the other night with the green and black from 91 with the strap match with Ivan Koloff, or the chain match with Ivan Koloff.
Oh, okay.
I should be here next week, hopefully.
Well, hopefully with the mail, but,
right.
Hey.
Labor Day weekend coming up.
Exactly. Well, they told me it was going to be a week to get your package to you, but it took, six days?
By the way, thanks for the lookout.
You're very welcome. Like I said,
for those of y'all that don't know, I'm a big Young Bucks mark. I love the Young Bucks. I've loved them ever since before they were in AEW. I love the work in New Japan. I know you don't like the Bucks. I get it. I know.
All right, well, since we're just gonna jump into some current wrestling, what's your thoughts on AEW?
Well, AEW holds a special place in my heart. I've been pumped for the company since I heard about, ever since the December 31st video on BTE, when they announced, which I kind of knew it was coming already. I've been a big insider wrestling fan. I read the dirt sheets and the insider web pages and stuff. So, of course, the thought process was already developed from All In from, a couple of years ago. So, when they announced the company, I marked out, had a geek moment. And then they announced their first shows, and they announced their first show was going to be in Vegas. And, of course, me and Greg was like, why not? Let's do it. So, me and Greg, one of Greg's buddies, Brandon, and my dad, surprisingly, for his birthday weekend, we all flew out to Vegas for Double or Nothing weekend, which was absolutely amazing.
You guys, when you went out there, you also enjoyed the convention that is pretty much AEW synonymous, Conrad Thompson's StarCast. How
Absolutely.
was the whole weekend for you?
Oh,
See, that's a
man.
wrestling experience. That right there, sorry to interrupt you,
Oh, you're
Jamie.
good. Go ahead, man. Go ahead.
That right there, that experience that you're thinking of, that's what I want to hear. Give me your experience on that whole weekend with your family. You're all the way in Las Vegas, Double or Nothing. Let's hear it.
Oh man, it was it for me. It was more than Double or Nothing. It was All or Nothing for me that weekend. Like that, I was going through a lot personally at that point in time. I was going through a lot of change in my life. I was going through a separation and moving out there from my kids and my ex-wife and stuff. So that weekend was like my first, I don't want to say freedom weekend, but I was going through a lot. So like I used that weekend to restart and refresh myself. So that was my plan from the get-go. And then when I got there, I didn't expect to really fall back in love with professional wrestling the way that I did when I was a kid. So we get there, and then Thursday, we just kind of like spent the day just kind of chilling out, just seeing the sights. Like, you got to do the tourist thing in Vegas. You got to see the sights. You got to see
Of
everything.
course.
And the strip in Vegas is just an experience all in itself. It's just, there's so much, and you can't move your head fast enough to take pictures. And just, oh, it's amazing. And so Friday morning, we got up and went to Busted Open Radio and got to see Dave LaGreca and Mark Henry in person do their radio show, which is awesome. Love Mark Henry. He's been one of my favorites from the Nation of Domination days to the Sexual Chocolate days.
Heck yeah.
Mark is, he's such a nice, cool guy. Never realized that someone could be that cool.
Heck yeah. Sorry,
But
folks.
the radio show, we got to see Tony Schiavone in person. Am I cutting out?
A little bit, but right when you started talking about Tony Slapdick Nation Schiavone, it came right back. So.
Got to meet Mark Henry. Mark Henry was a really cool, down-to-earth guy, real funny. Didn't really know that a guy that made that much money could be that cool and that funny and down to earth and just act like a normal person.
Heck yeah.
Got to see Tony Schiavone in person, which Tony was like my childhood, big Nitro WCW guy growing up. Schiavone was my whole, he like commentated my whole life, it seemed like. Every Monday night, every Saturday night, every, one Sunday a month.
Oh yeah, especially living in WCW country. I completely understand it.
Got to see SCU. I love Christopher Daniels. Christopher Daniels has been one of my favorites since his TNA days. course, Scorpio Sky is cool, is a cool guy. I got to meet him at an AEW show here around this area. He's down to earth, really cool guy. Got to see Stevie Ray. Of course, Harlem Heat was one of my favorite tag teams in WCW days.
Absolutely, same here.
Then good old JR was there. They interviewed him in person. That was, once again, Shivani, JR, my whole like childhood just right there. Just seeing these guys, they were like 30 feet from me, and I was just like, I just want to hug these guys. Like, I just want to thank them for making my life what it was.
Now, if I'm correct, aren't you the one that captured the video of your brother doing the blue meanie dance with the blue meanie that he was like, hey, right at the very end?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So after we went to the radio show and spent all morning there, we slid over to the Starcast Convention Hall over at Caesars, where they was having all the autographs and the meet and greets, and all the superstars and everybody was there. And yeah, Minnie was there, and Greg was sitting there talking to him. He's like, can I get a Minnie dance? And he started doing it, and I just happened to have my phone out taking pictures, because there's like 80 guys there, Hall of Famers, current guys, just a whole mixture of people. And I just happened to get the video of him doing the little Minnie dance with his hands up and his belly jiggling. Minnie was a cool guy, man. He's a little down to earth, real funny guy. He sat there and talked for like 20 minutes.
Heck yeah, heck yeah.
I know I keep repeating myself about these real cool, down-to-earth guys. You know, I never really realized how appreciative wrestlers are of their fans. Like, I know we appreciate what they do, and I guess I can say what you do or did as a wrestler, but to see them be so appreciative of their fans and actually take time to get personal with them and not just be like a robot just shaking hands and nodding and taking a picture, like, it was just an experience on itself. There was just so many people there, man. It was awesome.
Hell yeah. Well, then it sounds like Conrad picked the right guys to be at StarCast, because I've been to a few autograph signings that are just, here's a piece of paper, get out of my face kind of thing. So yeah,
that's kind of how that Flair autograph signing was that Greg was talking about that we had here in the area a few years ago. Flair really never picked his head up. He was just kept his head down, signed autographs, get out of here. Signed autograph, get out of here. It was kind of like he was just being an ass.
Yeah. But then again, we don't know. Say Flair was having a bad day that day. Yeah. But, you know, if it wasn't for us packing our butts every 18 inches, Flair wouldn't be the GOAT. Personal opinion.
Debatable.
Personal opinion.
Titles don't make goats.
Well, yeah.
If Sting wrestled for 60 years like Flair did, he'd have been good.
Yeah. back to Double or Nothing. my brain just totally went sideways.
Back to Double or Nothing weekend. So we went to StarCast, and StarCast was great. Like I said, Double A was he was down in the casino, and we were actually walking up the stairs to go up to the convention, and he was talking to a couple people, and we kind of stood there for like 5 or 10 minutes, and when he was done, I had a way for his conversation. And when he was done, he took the time to sit there and take a photograph with me and my dad, Brandon. Greg kind of disappeared on us at that time, but it was so cool.
Heck yeah. Heck yeah. See, I love hearing things like that. Now tell me about when you went into the MGM and...
Well, actually, I'm gonna pause before I get to the actual event. The night before the event was probably one of the best nights that I've had as a wrestling fan at a show. We went to a bar called the Nerd Bar. They had an open-air bar. And it was $20. It was an open bar, $20. Drink as much as you want. It was like a PWG show, GCW show, with a bunch of indie guys. It was the coolest thing in the world. Got to see a death match in person for the first time. Got to see Teddy Hart, which I get now. I understand that it wasn't as cool now, considering the kind of person Teddy turned out to be. but
yeah,
getting to see, I liked Teddy when he wrestled for that MTV promotion years ago. What was it? XPW or PW?
Wrestling Society, X.
That's what it was, yeah. So I thought it was cool. He was on big backflips and stuff, so getting to see him wrestle was cool. I got to see Rikishi that night, Joey Janela. Got to meet the D's Nuts guy. I got a photo with Joey Janela. Got to see Davey Jr., Willie Mack, Marty the Moth, which I know you got to meet him out there with you guys.
Oh, yeah, a couple times.
It was just really cool just seeing those guys. Nick Cage and Jimmy Rave in a death match was pretty cool with the glass and the Legos and all that stuff. Which, you know, seeing that stuff on TV and on YouTube is one thing. Experiencing it personally was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
So fast forward to your question about walking into the MGM Grand for the first time and seeing that set, man, just goosebumps. I kind of didn't like the little TNA ripoff with the entranceway.
Oh, the
tunnels. if you're gonna do the hills and faces thing, it's kind of nice. I get it.
No, yeah. How was the electricity in that building? Cause I'm, you know, with how fast the tickets sold out and AEW starting that night. I can't imagine the feeling and the excitement in the air, but I know it just had to be one of those magic moments WWE always talks about.
Right, and you know, I've been to a handful of WWE and WCW shows. I've never felt an electricity and not bad tension, but just excited tension. Just didn't know what was coming. You know, nobody knew what was going to happen that night. Nobody knew anything other than this is the start of something. Before the buy-in and before the show started, the Elite and Cody and all those guys came out and they you know, pumped us up. Before the crowd, the first AEW chant going through the arena, just goose, like goosebumps. I was clammy and I was nervous all day because I was just so excited. I just wanted to get to the event because it started at like 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock in Vegas time, so we didn't really have that long of a wait anyway.
Yeah,
but just the excitement in the air, man. And when that first match hit with the buy-in with the casino battle, or with it was the Battle Royale, I think, was the first match that we had.
I believe so.
Yeah, and you know, Dillinger Sean Spears coming out, being a surprise entrant, was really cool. And Hangman coming out the end to win the match was amazing. And the way that they let Luchasaurus kind of show his skills and stuff was really neat. Just so the first match was awesome, and then Sammy and Kip kind of, you know, the first actual singles match was stupendous. I like Sammy as a worker. I feel like he's got a lot of potential as long as he doesn't keep hurting.
Yeah, Sammy's great. He's, I see major things for that guy in his future. He's definitely gonna be a star in this business.
He just needs to reel it in just a little bit. He's always like, it's like he's always going like 1,000 miles an hour. Just reel it back a tad.
Yes. But as an old school wrestling fan, I could say that, in my opinion, about that whole company. So,
right, it's all too. Yeah, I know what you're going to say. You're more of the psychology, old school 80s, 90s, 70s wrestling style.
Yes.
There's nothing wrong.
No, and there's nothing wrong with the flip-flop and fly, you know. Wrestling,
flip-flop, fly, no sale.
Well, wrestling caters to everyone. There's aspects in every promotion that should cater to the different type of fans.
Absolutely. And these companies nowadays, even WWE now, has kind of started catering to more different varieties of fans. You know, you've got the Raw Underground UFC type thing to kind of get I guess a more hardcore feel for a more hardcore viewer. Then you got your Shocker Side of Raw with the funny stuff and the jokes and the gimmicks, if you will. And then, you know, you got the AEW and some of those matches have a lot of ring psychology and they go 20, 30 minutes. And then you got the flip, flop, and climb and no selling, like you say.
Yeah.
Matches, which is great because it gives you that, you know, it's like the match never stops. Just go, 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 go.
Yeah.
You got the tag team, you got the win. So it just, I'm glad that it's catering to everybody in every aspect of every gender, every race, every nationality, straight, gay, bi, whatever, transgender. So it's great to see that now.
Oh yeah, don't get me
back
wrong.
Back in the day, it was either you was a steroid muscle head with long hair, or you was a pretty woman, and that was basically it.
Yeah, that's, I can't disagree with you on that. Or you were X-Pac, you know.
Oh, the yeah. Don is underrated. I think gives him the credit that he deserves. The fact that he's only in the Hall of Fame, which is not really the Hall of Fame, it's kind of the game. But the only reason he's only in the Hall of Fame is as a part of the stable and not on his own is kind of sad.
Oh, definitely. He should totally be in on his own. Sean Waltman has transcended this business, and in my personal opinion, if it wasn't for Jerry Lynn and the Lightning Kid in Global and working all over the place in this country, we wouldn't have had Paul Heyman bring in the Lucha Stars.
Oh, absolutely.
Because those two were just tearing it up and gaining momentum even before he went to the WWF and worked with Razor. So
yeah, I've caught a couple of his earlier stuff before he became the Kid. And he could go from the time he stepped foot into the ring until he retired.
Oh, definitely.
And I think I saw a meme the other day. It said he never had a bad match with anybody.
No, except for I believe it's Shane Douglas. Oh wait, no, I'm thinking he was talking about Razor Scott. What are your thoughts on the WWE Thunderdome? What are your thoughts about, how they're doing it, what they could do to improve it?
I like the aspect of it. I like that, you know, they felt out the how the NBA was going to incorporate fans into the restart of the league, which is really neat with the virtual boards. I like that. It's always great to have fan interaction with shows. If not, it's like it's been the last couple of months. It's kind of boring and sucks the life out of shows. Granted, they're piping the fake crowd noise in or whatever, but, you know, seeing fans' faces and the excitement, and I think I heard a report where they're actually being like, told when to put a thumbs up or to cheer or when to boo or put a thumbs down is kind of ridiculous, but, you know, to each his own, if that's how you want to run your show or whatever, and have everybody kind of be like a one of those sitcom shows back in the 90s where you had the whole crowd laughing at certain points.
Yeah. See, what I...
But as far as the presentation looks nice.
Yeah, it does. See, what I don't like is they're directing them to act like that, be loud, but they don't pipe in their audio. They just pipe in the sweetener fake audio. And I just don't understand that. Why don't they do what the NBA does and pipe in those fans' audio?
Because they want to actually be able to mold their faces and heels, I guess, and have the cheers and boos.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I think is they want to control the narrative as long as they actually can. And right now, with the pandemic, it's pretty easy because they don't have, thousands of fans each show booing, Roman Reigns out of the building when they're trying to push him like they did for the last few years, I get that. But speaking of the pandemic and the Thunderdome, AEW is actually allowing fans to come back, very small, 10-15% capacity, Tony Khan said.
Yeah, I think it's like roughly, I think it's like 75 to 100 fans, I think maybe a little bit more. I can't remember the exact number of fans that they said, which is it's awesome that they're doing that. It's kind of like a hold my beer moment.
Yeah. Well, he was talking about on AEW Unrestricted podcast that they're gonna try and get from 700 to, I believe, 1100 for Saturday.
Oh, that would be great.
Heck
I would
yeah.
love to hear some actual pops in on.
Well, they had 500 that first night. It didn't look like it on TV, but you could definitely hear and feel the fans. And just watching the guys work in the ring, you could totally see the difference from no fans to just the guys on the roster. Then the guys on the roster with the friends and family of the Jaguars, to now actual fans are being brought back. And just sitting on my couch, I can tell that the workers are enjoying it more now.
Oh, absolutely. And it's just all the workers and them, just like if not for a fan in the seat, most of you guys aren't getting paid. So, having fans in the stands or in the seats or however you want to look at it means they're gonna, well, for one, make more money, and for two, they're more driven to put on a better show, I feel like. It's one thing working for your buddies, it's another thing working for complete strangers, I feel like.
Yeah. And we all work for the fans, and that's what we do it for.
Right.
I know when I worked, that rush you get from a live crowd when you're in the ring, it's that feeling's very addictive.
I can imagine. Like the one time I came out, I think it was in 2015, when the guys, they were practicing in somebody's backyard. I can't remember whose house it was. The guys were at my surprise break, my first trip out there, and they were in the ring, and I got to get up in there and kind of, run the ropes a little bit and take a couple bumps. I just want to be here all the time. So I get it. I can imagine being in front of a bar full of people or a room full of people as opposed to just a couple friends and family and kids hanging out in the backyard goofing off.
Yeah, it's, I miss it. That's pretty much the
I can imagine.
easiest way of saying
Well,
it.
I miss going to live shows, man. I'd give anything. I'd give anything to go to Jacksonville for a show. I'd give anything for a live show like that.
Well, they're slowly starting to open crowds in some of these states. Washington probably will be the last one. And I'm not sure how it is over in Virginia for you guys right now, but
For us, we're waiting for all the college kids to come back to see how bad numbers get, really. Once the
yeah.
college kids come back, all the numbers start spiking up short, and then we'll go from there.
Oh, yeah, they did here too. All the parties and That's a totally different podcast, but what I'm trying to say,
as far as here in this area, we're all staying safe and healthy here, so
yeah,
that's a good plus. We don't have a high number here.
My bad.
Oh, you're good, man. You're good, man. But going back to events, so I went to Double or Nothing, then turned around and I went to DC for the premiere, and that night was just as great, if not better than probably Double or Nothing, because once again, nobody knew what was going to happen. Nobody knew the behavior was going to come in. Nobody knew the inner circle was going to be formed. The Moxley and Kenny spot was pretty cool with glass tables. Just that whole night was just stunning.
Heck yeah. See, I'm hoping since they're doing the smaller arenas when everything opens back up, they come here, because we're only a 14,000 seat building, so I mean, it's a little more.
They could do a good 6,000-7,000 people, I'm sure.
Oh, WWE, when they bring TV here, it sells out quite a bit. Not every time, but most of the time. Now, their house shows don't sell worth anything.
Right.
But the TV.
I don't think any house show does anymore unless it's MSP.
Yeah, straight up. But I would love to see AEW make their way here, so I could go see it. Dynamite. Jim Cornette may be my quote unquote messiah when it comes to the wrestling business, but I still want to go.
It's definitely an experience on its own. Like when we went, I've been to 3 Dynamites. I went to DC, Charleston, and Charlotte, and each show was just different as far as the crowd, the atmosphere, the interaction with the crowd, especially after the shows, man. After the shows, Nick and Matt and Bucks and Cody and all those guys that come out of ringside and they'll hang out for like an hour. It feels like a lot longer. Just take pictures, sign autographs, give t-shirts away, just show appreciation. It's awesome. You don't get that at WWE shows.
No, definitely don't. I gotta give them the Elite all the credit in the world for doing things like that for the fans, because you don't get it from the WWE. I wonder if Impact does when they're working with crowds.
Well, like I said, I know back in the day they did. As far as how they do now, I have no idea. I've never heard of them doing. Of course, they've never ran through here. They haven't ran through here in a very, very long time. I think they say mostly about like Vegas and stuff now.
But, yeah, Vegas, Nashville, and
Orlando.
No, I believe it's Windsor, Ontario.
Yeah, Canada. That's right. Yeah, it's the only 3 places they really go.
Yeah.
They don't really run any house shows, really. It doesn't seem like anymore either.
No. Which, I just seen Dutch Mantel show a picture on his social of a house show they did in Boise,